All right, everybody, welcome to the Honey Hole Hangout podcast. We are remote now.
Didn't we do the intro last time?
No, we just went right into it.
Oh, oops.
Yeah, I don't have the music ready to go on this yet.
Oh, I could have sworn we did it last time. I guess not.
I can have it ready for next. I can have it ready for next time.
I mean, I could still do it. I could still hum it, you know.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Zach.
How's it go again? You got passion for outdoors. I can't remember the tune. Anyway, hey, somebody gets me started, I'll hum the rest of it.
I don't know, dude. We listen to it every time, but when we listen to it, we like half ignore it because we listen to it every time.
Exactly.
It's not right? Like we're singing along. Like, if we listen to a song over 100 times, then like you would know that song by heart, but we're not singing along to the intro. We're just like half ignoring it until it's over so we can start the podcast.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I normally just wait until I hear you say, "What's up, guys? Welcome to Honey Hole." Then I'm like, "Oh, okay, it's time to tune back
time
in."
So, what are you thinking about then? If you're just like completely zoned out and tuned out, what's going through your mind?
All sorts of things, dude. Sometimes I'm like, I'm focusing on my dance because a lot of you guys don't know this. Anybody listening? Well, maybe if you watch some of those clips, but sometimes I dance while it's playing. Sometimes I'm scrolling the old Instagram, you know, normal people things.
Yeah.
Normal people things. Yeah. Exactly.
If you guys are going to end up watching, both the Zachs are tying flies right now. What are you guys tying?
I'm tying. Okay.
Okay. So what are you actually tying, Zach? Whatever.
No, it's like this little thing. It's,
oh yeah, just like a little
a little bead head, little neck Frenchie. With some, yeah, obviously with like some rubber legs.
Yeah.
You guys are calling bullshit, and I'm like, no, like legit, a Frenchie with rubber legs, and marabou instead of the normal whatever little stiff things for the tail.
Nice. So. What are you guys? What are you tying for? Are y'all tying for real recovery?
Yeah. That's what I'm tying for.
I'm tying for me.
Okay. Okay. That's okay.
This is my evening, my evening activity, my wind down.
Harris, do you tie every night?
Almost. Yeah.
Almost.
Almost.
Get home from work and you're tying flies.
Not immediately, dude. So used to before I moved in with Lou, and this isn't a bad thing, but I would like start tying at like 9 o'clock at night, and I wouldn't stop until like 1 a.m. But she goes to bed early, and I feel guilty staying up like with music playing and the lights on. So I start tying now at about 7, and I call it quits at about 8.
Dang. So an hour and a half of tying a day still, though, that's still a good that's amount a of lot. Tying.
It yeah, is. I guess.
But when you're tying 10 hours a week.
I guess.
You're tying 10 hours a week.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good amount of time. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like, that's what you like to do with your free time. I think it's great.
Yeah. I'm artistic.
You are artistic.
Well, to move things along, one thing that's cool about us recording remote is that we can show videos. So every week we'll pull a couple of videos, short clips. I'll play them and We'll react to them. So if you guys will actually watch the videos here for, I got a couple for us.
All right, let me lock this in real quick. All right.
This first one I saw is a hype video for Harris.
Oh, I'm a little worried. Oh, hell yeah. I watch these guys all the time. Oh my God. Sooner than later.
Do you have a time frame? Do you have an ETA?
There's about a 10% chance it'll happen this year, but most likely, like if I had to put a time frame, it's going to be next year.
You think so?
Dang,
that's a good one too, man.
Yeah, that's a nice
Lou
fish.
Might have an opportunity to go this year though, because she might have to go for work. Oh my God, look at that beautiful
dude! They're crazy. Oh.
This is so cool.
So cool. Golly.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah. Did you guys see the duck camp video for April Fool's Day?
No.
Oh my god, it's so perfect. It's so perfect.
Why?
Because they Why so they came perfect? Out with new waiters. They're waiter shorts. The video. If, I don't know if you could pull it up. It's kind of long, but if anybody's watching or listening, you need to go watch that video because it's the best one I've seen in a while. I'll be honest.
Did you guys see the Orvis does a big April Fool's thing every year. They did this year. They did the some kind of fishing tool, like the ultimate tool.
No.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah. A couple years ago, I remember they did like the fly festival, like off the fry festival that was like a huge disaster. They were announcing it. They try to do something good every year. All right, guys. So that was Harris's hype video. I don't know which one this one is. Let's see here. Oh,
dude, I've done that before. Wait. Play it again. I'll show it again.
The classic prank.
Oh, yeah. No. So me and my buddy Tyler. So if anybody is a gear fisherman, bait cast spinning, and you need a guide, Game On Guide Service, a little shout out to him. Anyway, me, Tyler, and another buddy of ours went to Dunlap. This is like 5 or 6 years ago. We were bass fishing with bait casters. So I would tap the butt of Tyler's rod, and he set the hook, and the worm came flying by our heads, right? And he goes, dude, that was a bite. And he cast back out there, and I tapped the butt of his rod again. I think I got him 3 times before he caught on to what I was doing. It was fantastic. It was so good.
Here we go. Here's a good one for you guys.
I've seen this. I like that he's just watching it. Like, oh, man, what a majestic creature.
As it floats to the bottom.
Yeah. So I don't think it was dead, though. I think I saw a fin move. And I've actually done that with carp, where I released a carp. And they feel like they're ready to go, so I let go, and they just kind of drift away. So I grab them again, and eventually they swim away.
The only thing that gets me on this one is that I think if you listen closely, he says, I caught this catfish yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's probably dead. Like, if he caught it, like, 30 minutes ago, yeah, maybe I could believe that.
Caught this last night?
He caught it last night.
I want to know why he kept that. Second off, what live well did he put that thing in? He's on a
dude. That thing's not alive.
It looks like
bro.
A glitter boat.
Do you think he knew though? Like he's holding the fish.
But here's the deal. Like, why not just keep it?
Well, I think well, because fish that now big we're watching aren't the good video anyway.
Right? Because maybe it was like, a, maybe it was all like satire. That's maybe what I'm saying. Satire? Like, think about. We're talking about this video because he posted it. Like, true. I mean, like, it could just be for content, you know?
That's something that I hope that I don't have to, like, evaluate every... Like, sometimes you can tell it's, like, obviously for content, but I hope a guy didn't kill a fish and throw it back in the river dead for content.
You don't think he got it back out?
I mean, maybe he could have had it connected, you know, still connected to, like, a rod and pulled it back out.
Yeah.
You think?
Or just scooped it back out.
The likelihood is very low. All right,
so
I got
really
one more
think
video.
He was just, like... Okay.
Far, fly, far. Made out of an old flip flop and the base of a
suited
turn.
GTs, right?
Yeah. Let me go back. I'll pause it so you guys can see the fly.
Did you see the original video where they did that the first time?
I've seen the BBC video where they actually have the footage of them like catching birds in the air.
No. So there is in that guy that I can't remember his name to save my life from Real Recovery. Norm. Remember Norm?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He showed me this video, the Farquhar bird fly, and they find a flip-flop on the beach, like along the trees, and they cut it out and glue some feathers to it, made it look like whatever bird is floating out there. And they couldn't even cast it. They were like throwing the fly with their hands attached to a fly rod, obviously, and hooking up on GT. It was one of the coolest videos you've ever – I don't know. I show it to a lot of people. I think I showed it to Lou 1,000 times.
I'll have to go check that one out. I don't think I've seen that one. All right, guys. That's all the videos I got this week. Hey, so if any of our listeners have any videos they find they want us to react to on the show, send them to us on Instagram. In the meantime, Adair sent me a photo to share.
Yeah.
Whoa. Who is that?
Let's see.
Who is that?
Zach. Hi.
Nice.
So what's the story behind this fish, Zach?
That was just like one of the largest bass I've caught in a while, especially this year.
What is? It's hard to see. Is it a largemouth? Yeah,
I think it's a largemouth. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a largemouth.
I can't see details, yeah. But looking at that gill plate, it looks an awful lot like largemouth.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. And man, I hadn't fought a fish like that in a while, especially from the river. And so it was cool. Like I was throwing my little Frenchies, and it hit. And then the crazy thing is, the second it hit the water, it hit the fly, but then it dove straight down, and I thought it was a catfish because it was hugging the bottom. Like, I was putting a lot of force in it. It was just, like, swimming around right at the bottom, and I was finally able to pull it up, and then I was like, oh, sweet, this is just, like, a nice little bass. But, yeah, so it was a good little fish, and that's nice, when John and I were out there. Yeah, I was pretty happy with it.
Awesome, dude.
Cool. What weight rod did you catch it on?
6 weight, my H3.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah, dude. It was just a good day. That was on Good Friday. And it was funny. Kendall and I went carp fishing, did a little carping.
Uh-oh.
We did not get anything. We did see some stuff, but we did not. And if you guys want, I'll go into that story now, but we can wait till later.
No, go into it.
Yeah. Okay, so Kendall and I went out Friday morning, and we went up to a river in the hill country, and we saw a ton of carp, probably a dozen, and probably like 8 of them we made an attempt to cast to. Where we were at, the river we're at, has a ton of like cliffs and stuff. It's not flat where it's easy casting, and you're kind of like going in between, you guys know those like tree bush things that have like the peas on them? They look like dried peas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm like pushing through them and I'm trying like high sticking. And so my casting's not accurate. One of them, I did get one carp to turn and it went towards my fly. And I don't know, I set the hook and I felt it, but I don't know if I set it too early or too late. And obviously I spooked it then, and then it spooked probably 3 or 4 other carp at that point. So
did you, when you went out, did you commit to carp only? Like, I'm not going to catch for bass.
We went to a river that was strictly for carp. And
well, I mean, you probably could have caught bass there if you wanted.
We could. The place we went though, like it's super sandy and silty, like the entire riverbed. It's super muddy and mucky.
Did you go to the place that you and I went to?
No, because that place, like that's, you know, pretty easy casting. You know, that's pretty flat. There's not a lot of reeds or anything around. Okay. No, I went more north than that, or more north.
Okay.
No, more west than that.
Gotcha. Damn, so you think you spooked it? Or you think you set the hook too early or too late? Like, what do you expect?
I don't know. It's like the second time I've ever even had a carp turn on my fly. And so I don't know what happened. I think when I cast it, it was like it was coming towards me, and I cast just past it when it started to get a little deep. And so then it turned and it went down. And so I couldn't necessarily see its face because it was kind of like facing away from me. And so I was like, all right, it's where my fly is. And I pulled up, and then it had some tension, but then it just kind of like popped out. So I don't know if I even took it. I don't know if
you said before we started, you had some questions. Does it have to do with this story?
It does have to do with the story. So like, so I don't know. Questions? I don't know. What did I do wrong, Zach?
Harris, before you answer that, let me ask Zach this question. Zach, what did you learn? Because the goal is going out, you know, you're trying to catch a carp, probably take something away from each day. What did you learn about carp fishing yourself?
I learned that it is better to go and just focus on carp than try to be like, all right, I'm going to bass fish, and if a carp pops up, at least at this point, because I'm just like eager to get a carp, you know.
So you feel like that idea that Harris has been talking about of like just focusing on carp is a little bit more cemented, like you believe it more?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, okay. I think I mean, I had more shots. I saw more carp than I had seen in a long time. And the ones we did make other casts to, we were like probably at least 12 feet up on a cliff looking down, you know? And it was kind of like, all right, we're going to try this. And then like, if we hook up, I don't know what we're going to do from there, but we're kind of out here.
You're going to jump in the river.
Most of it.
You're going to jump. Yeah. You're going to
Jesus take the wheel.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I was like, man, so.
Feel like freaking Leonidas flying through the air with a fly rod.
Right. I'm still pretty enthusiastic about getting one. I'm not like, I'm not turned off by the idea. So I'm going to keep going, keep doing that same thing of just going out on like carp trips, you know, just focusing and hitting it that, just hitting it hard, you know.
Telling you, man, it's a numbers game. The more you put in front, the more fish you stand in front of, the greater your chances of figuring it out.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is, right? Every time I go out, I feel like I get a little bit better. I understand the fish a little bit more. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I think it's going to happen. Or I know it's going to happen soon. But, you know.
Well, so what's your question about it? Like, you,
what do I need to do?
So how long?
Why do carp hate me? That's my main question.
When you saw, all right, so you saw the fish turn on your fly. How long did you wait before you set the hook? To set the hook. Not very long.
Yeah.
Like how long is not very long?
It's hard to tell in hindsight. Maybe like a second or two.
That's about the right time. But you know what you should do? So you could see the fish, the full fish or just the tail or.
I saw like if it was facing directly away from me, I saw like just pretty much the tail. You know what I mean? Like the back half of the fish.
Okay. So it was facing, it was swimming away from you.
Yes, yeah, and because it was swimming away, it's the rest of the tail and the body was blocking my view of its face.
So that's could potentially be an issue number one right there, is it was swimming away from you. And the reason that is a carp, so like if you okay, so the fish is swimming away from you, you put your fly in front of its face, right? And if it ate, you're good, but if it didn't and you set the hook, you thought it ate and you set the hook, that fly is going to be pulled toward the fish, right? And what that's going to do there is you're going to spook the fish. Yeah, so maybe you felt tension because your line ran across it or something.
Yeah. I think that's probably what happened.
Well, maybe. There's a chance. There's no way to know for sure, right?
But I think another thing in that scenario that is difficult is that you risk lining the fish as well if it's away from you.
Well, so like I don't want anybody to think I lined the fish, because what happened is the fish was swimming 45 degrees towards me, right? I casted probably a foot and a half or 2 feet on the like off the nose at an angle, because I was gonna do that thing where you cast farther, then you drag and drop it in front of it. And what happened is it didn't actually give me an opportunity to drag and drop, because the second it hit, it actually turned and started heading towards where my fly was. And so I didn't cast over the fish, but once it hit, it turned and then started swimming that way. And then once it was about where my, like what I thought where my fly was, I waited a second and I set the hook. And like I said, I felt the tension, but I didn't feel a snag. You know what I mean? It clearly didn't, it wasn't in its mouth.
I don't think you lined it. And I wasn't trying to, I wasn't assuming that you did, but just something to point out for the listeners who are maybe trying to get into carp fishing.
So what you should do, did you notice the fish do anything besides move towards your fly? Did you see anything weird, or did you notice any behavior changes?
No, I didn't.
No, but you should again, go, like, just get on YouTube. Get on YouTube. There's a couple videos, a handful actually, aerial footage of guys fly fishing for carp. Like they have a drone flying or whatever. And watch those carp eat.
That's poaching, Zach.
No. I'm saying on the videos,
they're using drones to spot fish.
I don't think that's what they're doing. I think they're just recording themselves. Anyways, go watch those videos of those fish eating and pay attention to their tail and their pectoral fins and their head movement and all that, so you can pick up on little tells. Because sometimes, like, you'll see their tail, like, it'll start moving faster, or sometimes it stops moving altogether. Like if you notice a change in their behavior, that's usually a pretty good signal. But also you can pay attention to how long it takes them to move onto the fly. Like kind of watch the videos when the fish moves onto the fly from that point in time to the time that the angler sets the hook. That'll give you a good idea. You got to be able to picture how long that fish eats. I caught a carp a couple of days on Sunday on Easter. And I didn't actually see the fish eat. I saw it move on my fly, and I just
kind of guessed. Felt it and guessed.
Yeah, you don't feel it.
Not feel it, sorry. You yeah. just kind of... Yeah. I meant felt it like
an instinct. Feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or just it was like, time oh, on the water experience, you kind of yeah. just like, no.
Oops. Yeah.
It's hard, like, it's hard to replicate. It's, look like. It's hard to replicate that knowledge. I mean, you've caught a lot of carp, Zach, so it's
yeah.
like you knew... Or based on your experience of having done this, you know, catching 50, like, 100 carp. The fish
should have eaten already.
Yeah, the fish should have eaten. Or this is how long, you know, if they're giving me these cues, this is what's going on.
That's cool, though, dude. Having a fish turn on your fly, like,
yeah.
I bet you got shaky.
I did. I was pretty excited. I was like, oh shit, it's already moving towards it. I didn't even drag and drop.
It doesn't get old, bro. I'm telling you, I still get shaky. Even if I just like see a tail, I start getting super shaky. Like, it's ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like,
we were pretty fortunate the place we were fishing at because we had the cover. But I think what would happen though is because we had to like kind of fight through the brush and the branches to get our fly rod on the other side. We were spooking fish before we even. So, and also the other thing too is when we were, I did learn that it is easier to spot and cast at a carp when you're not in the water, because every time we were in the water, we were spooking them way before we saw them, you know.
That's because you're probably making too much water noise when you're walking.
Well, we really thought about that, but no, what would happen is we would walk and then all of a sudden, like, I just haven't trained my eyes on how to spot carp yet. Like, they would be like a foot in front of me, and all of a sudden I'd be like, oh, and it would take off. You know what I mean?
So keep in mind, the higher you are, just for future reference, the higher you are out of the water, the easier it is for the fish to see you. So don't use that.
It's like a double-edged sword. Like, you can see the fish better, but you're also not.
Exactly. They can see you better.
Fish's vision, and it's not the same in all species, but I'm just making a generalization here. They have a cone that looks up.
Right.
So, yeah, well, you also got to think of how the water bends the light, too.
Yeah. So they – because they're always looking for predators. And so and I know this is true for trout. I don't know what, you know, what other fish species categories it fits into. But it's a cone that moves up and away. So, like, the higher you are, the more you are
– in their vision.
In their vision, yeah.
But back to what you're saying, it's a lot easier to, like, I think the easiest eats I've gotten were because I was, like, walking beside the river, not in the river.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where we just got the, it was easier to see them that way. We weren't spooking as much. So, yeah. Oh, I mean, it was a good, I haven't just gone out and targeted carp, just Kendall and I think ever, you know.
Did Kendall get any opportunities?
She had a couple, but I think we were just seeing some fish kind of swimming around that weren't necessarily actively eating.
Yeah.
What flies were you throwing?
Yours.
Mine?
I don't know. Oh. One of the ones you tied and gave me.
A Frenchie.
A Frenchie, honestly. Hey, the do-it-all fly. Clouser what? It's the Frenchie name. But yeah, no, Zach, it was one of the ones that you gave me. I can't remember exactly.
Was it the one with the two chenille tails?
Oh, I don't think it was that one.
No.
Let's see. And actually, you know what? Now I'm thinking about it, it might not be one. I have it right here.
I was going to say, the one with the two chenille tails, that's the etouffee, dude. I think I caught most of my fish on that last year.
Are you still fishing it, or are you trying new things, Zach?
I'm still using it, but honestly, I'm experimenting with a lot of things right now, just to kind of have some variety. But let's see it. What we got? Is that the pescador? Tacky box?
He can't hear us. He doesn't have his headphones on.
Yeah, I have it now. Yeah, he said this is HGS. This is the pescador.
Okay. You like it?
I do. Yeah. I use this and I have my little tacky dive, my little pocket one. Yeah, I don't know if this is actually one that you gave me. It might just been one I bought or I found. Because I don't know if you put this many rubber legs on your carp flies.
Well, it depends. The one I'm tying right now has like 100 rubber legs on it.
This one?
Oh, yeah. That's not mine.
Is that a carp nasty?
Well, that's funny.
That looks like a real getter, a big old or a attempt at a carpet bomb. It's not a carp nasty.
I don't know where I got to then, but
that might be a Chris Skinner fly.
Oh, maybe so. Got to Skinner.
It looks fishy. Right?
Yeah, he likes to use marabou on his stuff.
Yeah, I like marabou. That's why I was drawn to it.
So, Harris, tell us about your carp fishing excursion.
Dude, it was pretty cool. It was tough, man, because the water was like super dirty. Plus, it was.
Were you fishing hill country or in town?
Hill country. I haven't gone in town in a while.
Okay.
Might go this weekend. Anyway, the water was pretty dirty because we had that. A little bit of rain. Also, I mean, the water's been pretty dirty for a while now, at least in the Guadalupe. Yeah, it was just tough. It was all you could see was tails. You couldn't see anything else. Tails or mud clouds. You couldn't see heads. You couldn't see anything. They weren't like really showing themselves, and they were in like 2 foot of water. So all you literally could see was their tails. But I will say, so slightly off topic, I switched from Costa to Smith, right?
What?
And I used to use the amber lens, green tint, or green mirror. And Smith, I got the brown tint with the green mirror. Dude, those tails stuck out like a freaking beacon. It was like a neon sign in the middle of the night. Like, it was insane.
Really? You found that much of a difference?
Dude, a massive difference. And Lou has Costas with the amber lens and the green tint. And I compared. And so the Smith, at least that brown tint lets in a lot less light. But I guess the Chromapop makes the colors come out. And dude, those tails were like, it was almost like everything was in black and white, but the tail was gold. Like, that's how bright they shine. It was really freaking cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's like, and what's crazy too is you can experiment with all of like the different lens colors, and there's even like low light specific lenses. So if it's like a cloudy day, like
yellow and
that's for people that have money.
Have all the different ones. Yeah,
yeah, dude, I'm not gonna buy glasses for low light. I mean, more power to you if you do, but man, I want one pair that does most. You know, I know that's like almost impossible.
I mean, I think that's most people.
Yeah.
I think that's most people. I have a pair of Smiths and a pair of Costas, and I like the Costas a bit. Mine are green mirror, amber green mirror lenses, and I like them a lot. The Smiths I have are some kind of brown lens.
I have I switched to Bahio, and I like them. I like them a lot. I don't know. I feel like when I first got my Smiths, I got my Smiths on eBay. And I got them like when they were like half off. So they're probably knockoffs. But I just really like my Bahios. I don't know. I've had it for over a year now. And I feel like they're the clearest lens I've seen. I think mine are even the plastic ones. Yeah. I'm comparing the plastic to I had the Costa Glass. And then I had the Smith Plastic and these plastic. I think these are the clearest out of all three of mine.
Really? Because I always tend to like glass better.
Yeah. Same here. Glass seems to be clearer for me.
Yeah, in my opinion.
Well, so my next ones will be the Bahio glass. That'll be the next pair.
Oh, they make glass ones too.
They do, yeah. And actually, the Bahio plastic were a Christmas gift, and I haven't had any complaints about them. So I'm like, I'll just keep
rocking
them. Yeah,
I need to try some Bahio frames on. And part of my deal with the Costas is I know that there's a frame that, because I have a really wide head. So, like, a lot of sunglasses are made too narrow. And a lot of – like my Smiths are a little bit too narrow. So I, again, prefer my Costas because they're more comfortable is one reason. But I need to try some Bahios on and see if there's a frame that will be comfortable on my wide head.
And see, maybe that's me because like my Costas are uncomfortable. But I my Bahio are the most comfortable, Smith are second, and then Costas are third.
Dude. Okay.
Never thought – and I think I actually like the style of – Bahio and Smith a little bit more than I like the Costa ones too.
Well, Costa. So one thing Costa's got going is they have a ton of frames. Like
they do.
Surely you can always find something in Costa. Smith doesn't seem to have that much, and I didn't really look into Bahio. But man, I'll tell you, those Smiths are like 1,000 times more comfortable than Costa. Like my Costas always felt like they were moving on my face.
Me too, right? They're almost like too stiff. Like they just don't. Yeah, it's weird.
Exactly. The Smiths, it doesn't even feel like they're there. Like they're great. I recommend, honestly, if anybody's interested.
And that's probably the frame thing, how the frame fits your face.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Try them on if you can. I don't like ordering. Same thing with shoes, like sunglasses and shoes. I won't order online.
Well, yeah. I actually
I have to try them on.
I found a frame shape that I thought I would like online. And then I called like everybody locally that I know carries high-end sunglasses. And when I found a place that had exactly what I was looking for, I went over there. Shout out to the Tackle Box.
Nice.
Yeah. That's what you got. I was actually planning on like finding a place that just carried that frame and trying them on and then ordering them online, but the Tackle Box had the lens that I wanted too. So
nice.
I was like, well,
nice.
Yeah. And in Rome, right?
Right.
That's like a fantastic perfect feeling.
Just yeah, doing yeah, get it done.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like it when you've been looking on something, you finally find it in a store and you're like, all right, I'm just gonna get it here.
Yeah, and exactly. Dude, I'd rather buy local anyway. Like
yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, Landon, you did some carp fishing, huh?
I did. So I went up to Lubbock for Easter weekend, hung out with the family. The in-laws came in as well, and my nieces and nephews were there. I stayed with Carson and Cameron, and man, just had a great time over Easter. Went to a speakeasy, so that was cool.
Oh, yeah, they're fun. 1919 here in San Antonio is pretty cool.
Yeah. There's one. We went to this place, Italian restaurant called Stella's.
Stella.
Have you been there, Zach?
No.
No. It's really good. Highly recommended. But they have like a speakeasy in the back. So there's you can either get the code, the password to get in the front, or if you eat at Stella's, there's a fake restroom that you can go through to get into the speakeasy.
Cool. That is really cool.
Actually. Yeah, it's cool. So we went in the restroom entrance, and then on the inside it's all like vintage furniture and everything, and then they have magazines out everywhere. We're like, man, what's the deal with these magazines? McKenna picked one up, popped it open. The menu was like hidden inside the magazine, and that was how they do all their menus.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. So we did that. Got like 2 hours one day of free time. Me and Carson went out, and we went to a Playa Lake where we absolutely 100% knew there was carp, and it was too muddy. And the water was too off color to see anything.
Mm.
Also, there is.
And you weren't wearing Smith.
They would have popped out.
I was actually wearing my Smiths.
Yeah, likely story.
No, I was. I was wearing my Smiths. I didn't have my coasters with me. There is also one disadvantage to fishing the Playa Lakes in Lubbock that I am learning about. There's so many ducks and geese, and so many people go out and feed them. If they see people near the water, they come towards you.
So yeah, that could be a problem.
That
you're trying to be sneaky
is going to be a problem. Trying to be sneaky, for sure. So I'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
And so we went to that first Playa Lake and didn't see anything. Walked all the way around it. And then we went to another one where we were fairly certain there were carp there, and we did see some carp. And they were doing some strange behaviors I had never seen before. They were in groups of like 3 to 5 fish. And we saw this probably 5 to 6 times.
Wait, you've never seen that before? I feel like I see them.
No. Like I've seen groups of carp before. But they were in groups of 3 to 5, and they were out in a little bit deeper water, so they weren't like mudding around. But they were coming up to the surface, and they were just like
they were pooping,
doing this at the surface.
They were pooping.
Clooping?
Coop. C-L-O-O-P.
Okay, pooping. Explain that, Harris.
They were rising to dries. In the carp world, they call them cloopers.
I would say...
Dude, you don't think so, but I'm telling you they were. And here's the reason I know that, is because a couple of weeks ago, Zach was kind of there for this. We had carp... We came across large numbers of carp clooping, coming up top and eating off the top, and you could not see what they were eating, right? Couldn't see anything. No. It looked like they were just like... But finally, I went back down later that day, and I got a rise out of one on one of Gabe's dry flies. And I was able to get super close to these fish, like 3 or 4 feet, and I could see they were eating these tiny little white things that you couldn't see from a distance.
Now, let me ask you this, because were yours breaking the surface... Of the water, because the ones I was seeing were not breaking the surface of the water.
What?
So they were
sitting, they were probably eating emergers, dude.
Under the surface.
Emergers. Was there any kind of hatch going on or anything?
Dude, nothing.
They were eating something.
I looked all over the place for hatches, anything like that. Nothing.
So they were coming up and their mouths were opening.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they'd go back down, they'd swim around in weird erratic patterns, and then they'd like pop up somewhere else, do the same thing. I saw that probably like in a couple of different groups of fish. They were casted at them. I didn't have dry flies, but I casted carp flies at them.
They're probably eating something on top or some kind of insect or something, man. Like, we saw that, and it was ridiculous. We couldn't get them to eat anything.
Well, I'm going to start taking dry flies. Take some dry flies in my carp box from now on.
Oh, by the way, I don't know if I should say this on the podcast, but I found something. Gabe was there for this too.
What did you find?
Grassies.
Oh.
You found what?
Grass carp.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
You can say it on the podcast. You just don't have to say where.
Yeah, I just got to be careful. I know there's some fiends out there. Anyways.
you calling our listeners fiends?
No.
For carp? For grass carp? Maybe.
I'm telling you, man. Anyways.
Call them out by name. If we have fiends that are listening to this, call them out by name. Ricky.
Ooh. He might take that personal.
I'm just kidding, Ricky.
Once or twice.
Do what? What'd you say?
I said I've accused him once or twice. Can't be too careful, man. Can't be too careful.
I did get a couple shots at feeding fish, though, that were like rooting around.
Yeah, what happened?
Nothing came out of it.
Why?
Except on one, I made a cast, and I was quite a ways off of it. So I picked it up to recast, except that as soon as that fly hit the water, the carp like turned that direction, was heading for it. So like in that split second, like if I would have left it on the water, I may have had an eat. So maybe I should have been like, to take away from that, being a little bit more patient when my fly hits the water instead of like quick reaction to like pick up and recast. Because I will say it wasn't even close. Normally I'm pretty careful about that, and I wouldn't have recasted if I didn't feel like it was just an awful cast. So
that's rough.
Yeah. Lesson learned there. I'm going to be a little bit more patient on those situations. I also feel like that's a thing that like new fly fishermen do. I don't know, Zach, if you've done like, are you guys, I mean, a real recovery, you feel like your guy makes like a good cast and they don't feel like it is, so they pick it up. They just like, dude, you should have kept that one in the water. You okay?
Kendall's scaring me right now. We have a collection of Halloween masks, and she decided that she was going to run in here and scare me. So here she come, show
yeah,
them.
show us.
They want to see it. They want to see the scary face. Come on, camera, this way. They want to see this. Yeah, come, just show your face. Just there, you can see. Just show your face right here, a little bit closer. Yeah, see.
Oh my god!
Right? See, I'm nice. Telling you, terrified.
You really know how to pick them there, Zach.
It's funny.
I have a visitor. I have a visitor too. Come here.
A deaf cat.
Let go of the cushion.
Typical cat behavior, man.
Look at this.
No.
Ouch. Sit with me and tie flies.
Doesn't seem like she likes to.
No, well, she doesn't like me picking her up.
Yeah, she doesn't like to be pestered.
She just wants to sit there, think about it.
Yeah, she doesn't want to be annoyed.
Yeah, that's Puma. Anyway. Ooh. So sounds like we all had some carp adventures this weekend.
I know. Yeah. It's kind of exciting.
Never mind. Go ahead.
I'm really excited for Lubbock carp fishing because it's like 10 minutes to get, like, Lubbock, the saying is, it takes you 15 minutes to get anywhere, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm like within 15 minutes of like 30 Playa Lakes to explore and check out. So
nice.
I'm pretty excited. Like when I get up there, it's like it's gonna be so easy. Like after work, I'm gonna just go check one out and see what happens.
Yeah.
So that's what you're really saying is you've got no excuses.
No excuses.
No excuses. Good. Good. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. No. I'm very excited.
That's cool,
now,
man.
Like right now for me, it's like with as much as I have going on, it's a little bit more of like I have to plan it, and it's like going to be a half day deal at least to drive out somewhere and spend the time I want to.
Right.
Whereas there, I'm just like, oh, after work, I'm going to hit this one on my way home. Walk a loop around it, see if I see anything, make a cast, and then go home and do another one in the next day. And you know, do it that way. So,
Landon, I'm curious, since we're on the topic of carp, how in tune with carp fishing do you think you are?
I don't know. So like, if I was going to give myself a rating, like a rating out of 10,
yeah,
3.
Okay.
Then what does that make me? Like a negative 2?
I have caught 6 common carp, 1 mirror carp, and 1 koi.
That's another thing we can talk about. Well, my question is, so I knew the water was going to be dirty, so I tied some black flies, which I'm not going to post on the socials, except, side note, I started a group on Facebook called Carp Fly Tying.
I joined.
Yeah, so if anybody's listening and interested, go join it. We got some cool people in there. Anyways, and I posted it in that just to get some feedback. But so I tied some all black flies, which I never do because that's really boring, for the muddy water. And lo and behold, orange was still the productive color. They didn't want anything to do with black. I actually got refused on black.
Even in the muddy water?
Even in the muddy water. Really? Still orange. Orange is like my top producing color.
Personally. Orange is what I fished in Lubbock.
Dude, orange is like disgusting.
Do you think it's a little bit of a confidence thing for you too?
No, maybe, I don't know, but I don't fish them any differently. Not that I can tell.
Yeah.
So
what's your question?
My question is, have you ever fished black, or like what color would you prefer? I don't know if you've ever caught them in dirty, nasty water.
I would say
a lot of people would say black.
Eliminate the koi because that was a weird scenario. I would say probably most of my carp, and again, I've caught like 8 total, 6 commons, 1 mirror, 1 koi. Right. I would say most have been on black, and then 2 really? Have been on yellow.
Yellow?
Really? Yellow?
You like a gold, like, not like a bright yellow, like a, not rust, kind of like a rusty yellow, not a rust color, but it's kind of like a muted yellow. If I had one handy, I would.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think I have one in my car, a little yellow carp fly.
Yeah. But it's not like a bright, like, chartreuse yellow that's, like, just real vibrant. No. It's, like, very.
It's almost like.
Earthy. It's an earthy yellow.
Yeah, I'll say it's almost like a beige, really, but, like, a little brighter.
Interesting. But I
don't know, man. Like, I'm not an expert here. I have a lot to learn on carp fishing. But it seems like. Everybody that I talk to who's like a good carp angler, like some guys like, man, all is my color. So I go out and I'm like, oh, this guy says olive works and it doesn't work for me. And then you say orange is your color and another guy says black is their color.
Yeah.
I just like, I don't know. When I was fishing in Lubbock this week, I was like, man, I'm feeling orange today. I don't know. Just like a hunch, just like a gut feeling. I was like, oh, I'm going to do orange today. And probably fish that color until I get a refusal, you know?
Yeah. Orange, I don't know what it is. I don't know, but orange always does really well for me. Like if I'm having issues, let's say I'm playing with a new color or a new pattern or whatever, and I'm just not getting any action, I tie on something orange and I catch fish. It seems like that.
What do you think about this though? Okay, like how often have you put yourself in an A+ situation, meaning you're at a good vantage point over the carp. You make a great cast leading it. Your fly sinks at the right depth. And you present that fish doesn't change direction and is feeding and goes in front of your fly. And that carp has refused it.
How many times do I think that's happened? You'd be surprised how often that happens. It happened like 10 times in a row the other day.
But like, are we talking like A+ scenarios though? Or are we talking about, I got a B scenario or I got like a C scenario or.
I'm talking like the fish is 5 feet in front of me. Like there is no reason I couldn't make it happen. And the fish, it's like, it didn't spook. It's like it got to my fly. I was like, nope, not touching that. That's not what I want to eat.
So is that the point? Okay, then is that the point where you would change colors?
Well, it depends on how many fish I'm seeing, I guess. If I'm like running in, if I'm seeing a lot of fish feeding, I'll probably just move to the next one because it takes more time to retie.
Because do you think color's the most important factor or is getting that A+ situation more important?
I think it's a combination of both, personally. I mean, if you're in super dirty water and you're using like a brown fly, I mean, come on, like a tan fly,
mm-hmm.
right? So color is your issue there. But I don't know. I think clear water color doesn't matter if you find the right fish. If you're in that A+ situation,
yeah.
But I've had perfect situations where I've had a fish look at my fly and not spook, not run. They just like
they just don't want it.
Yeah, ignore it. They yeah. turn away and they start feeding 2 feet away from it. Or
yeah.
But then again, who knows? Maybe the fish just decided to stop eating in that spot. Maybe it never even saw the fly. It's hard to say.
Yeah,
they're weird, man.
So you say you're doing a lot of experimenting right now. Does that mean colors too? Like you say orange is your confidence color. Are you willing to like throw purple or like some weird colors and see what happens?
Yeah. I mean, I'm experimenting with patterns and, cause last year I threw a lot of crawfish patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, even this year so far, I've thrown a lot of crawfish patterns, but I'm kind of like trying to expand my repertoire, my options. So I'm really paying attention to, like, I'm like flipping rocks and stuff, trying to see what they could be feeding on. So mainly experimenting with patterns, honestly, and trying to dial in, like,
yeah,
what they're feeding on. So that's proven to be kind of tough.
Mm-hmm.
But I read recently, and I don't remember where I read this, that if a carp is like digging in the mud, like face in the mud, and it's, you know, shooting up mushroom clouds, that means they're digging for like worms or nymphs, or they're not necessarily feeding on crawfish or
etouffee,
clams or anything like that. Yeah. So if they're like face in the gunk, then throw a bug. I don't know. I have got a lot to learn as far as like behavior goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm pretty confident in my ability to catch them, but I want to get like more technical about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And try to put all the odds in my favor, you know?
Have you caught any buffalo? Yeah.
Yeah, I caught a freaking beast of a buffalo last year. I consider it a beast. I mean, it was...
Do you guys know the story about the buffalo I caught?
No.
It's an embarrassing moment for me.
Okay.
Fowler actually called me out. Shout out, Fowler.
Oh, no.
So I was visiting some family. I was fishing the Brazos and decided to go carp fishing. So I go out and I catch two what I believe to be carp.
Oh,
I'm
no.
I'm pumped. I'm like, oh, man. First carp I caught two in one day. Like one was huge, like 30 pounds. I'm jazzed up. I need to go find these pictures and post them. And I posted on Instagram, like all proud of myself. Caught my first carp. Then I just get roasted in the comments. Dude, that's not a carp. That's a buffalo. You don't know what you're talking about. What are you doing? I'm like, dude, what the heck is a buffalo? I had to look it up. I had never even heard of a buffalo before.
I remember when this happened now.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, don't feel too bad because last year I caught my first buffalo. And I knew what a buffalo was simply from like fish pictures. Not grip and grin pictures, but like fish underwater pictures. Like I knew they mm-hmm. were here. But they look completely different underwater, right?
Mm.
So I pulled this fish in, and I was with Ricky, actually. And I was like, dude, this common looks super weird. Like, it's like eyes are black. Like, it looks like a carp. It didn't look like any other buffalo I'd ever seen. Because buffalo are typically, like, fatter. Like, they got a lot more meat on their bones. They have more shoulders.
Yeah.
This one was pretty lean. Like, it was shaped like a common carp. So I thought it was a buffalo at first. And so I started doing some – or I thought it was a carp at first. So I started doing some research. I think if you've never had one in your hands, it's pretty easy to mess that up. Like, well, so I wouldn't feel too bad.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's funny now. No.
Hey, that's how it all works. I mean, like, that's, you know.
That's how you learn.
Also, right? The first, I caught a gas, like, right after I had moved to Austin, went to Perdinales State Park, caught a gas.
Why does everybody say Perdinales?
Perdinales, right?
It's Perdinales.
Yeah, whatever.
There's only one R towards the end.
The per.
Yeah. It's the ped. Ped or analysis. Anyways, go on.
Anyway, I caught a Gasper goo. Thought I had caught an alien because I had no idea. I had to bring pictures back to people. And I'm like, dude, what is this? They're like, oh, that's a freshwater drum.
That's a cool fish to catch, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you they're know. Cool.
Were you dredging the bottom like when you caught it?
Dude, I don't know. This was like a decade ago.
Yeah,
because that's probably like 8 years ago. I don't remember how I was fishing for it.
That's funny. I've never caught one. On a fly, anyway.
Caught one like
jigs and stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
At Choke Canyon.
Well, fellas. Zach, we didn't talk about this on the podcast, but why don't you give like a soccer coaching update, our weekly soccer coach update.
All right. Well, we are looking spry out there. We are so our first game is this Thursday.
Are we in shape?
Yeah, I have a really good team. As you guys know, I had to cut some athletes this past week and broke some hearts. But almost every kid that I cut, they understood. They came and talked to me, and I kind of told them things they should work on. And my school is just – I'm really fortunate. We have a lot of really talented soccer kids. Like, it's becoming a really popular sport, especially like when you're in middle school. Like, I feel like a lot of kids just play soccer and baseball. And as they get older, they kind of gear and shift towards basketball and football. So it's just – it was a tough competition. You know, there's a lot of different – athletes. So, but practice has been going well. We have a good team. I'm excited, and first game is Thursday, so hopefully we win it.
Are you feeling That's like cool. you're gonna win? Or like, are you what's your confidence level right now?
I think we can win. I honestly, my expectation is that we would make the tournament at the end of the season and we would win the whole thing. That's my expectation because I know how talented my students are.
What's that championship contract bonus you got over there at the public school system? Yeah, like right. 50 grand?
Yeah, right, really. Yeah, no, it's maybe you can do this again next year.
Oh, okay.
If you get a pizza, you get a pizza party.
Not even a pizza party, man. They put my name on the announcements.
Oh, wow. Like no like poster at the school, like.
Actually, no, they do. They I'm just messing. They do. They put things up in the gym.
I'm just messing. They do give us a pizza party.
They do give us a pizza party. No, we have donuts in the morning. So, yes, we'll do a couple of things. So, if we win it all, which we'll see.
I think you could do it, dude.
Yeah, I think you can too. It's funny. I told my students last year that if we won it all, I would shave my head. And so I'm telling them now. That because I already did it, that the expectation is that they win it now. So,
well, I don't think you shaved your head.
I buzzed.
It doesn't count.
It does not. Yeah,
I'm true. Gonna tell you, shaving your head is a slippery slope, dude. Like, I didn't think I would like it. I don't even want my hair to grow back, dude. So it's so easy.
It's a choice, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it is. I mean, it was a choice at first. I'm not that bald. That's but true. Yeah, no, That's it's, true. Dude, I'm telling you, like, life is easy. You so save Zach, money on shampoo.
Shampoo.
You never have to worry about hat head.
Yeah, that'll buy you one package of fly tying materials, all that money you're saving on shampoo.
if you're lucky.
Yeah, right, really.
So, Zach, when's your first soccer game?
Thursday.
Where is it at?
At middle school.
What time?
It's at 6 o'clock.
Ooh,
5 o'clock is 7th grade. 6 o'clock is 8th grade.
Ooh, I might try to go then,
dude. You should.
I'll text you, Harris. You want to go?
He's like, hell no.
You can bring your vice.
If it's not really my thing, Lou will go though.
Even if it's not this week, next week we play at home, and so it's a little bit easier to get in.
Okay. Yeah, text me the schedule. I'm gonna try to make a game.
Yeah, dude, you should. It's fun. Plus. They're like 40 minutes long. So it's like they start around like about 6 to 6:10 and they play 2 25 minutes. Oh, so it's 50 minutes. 2 25 minute halves. And typically halftime is like, you want three? You want 3 minutes or 5 minutes?
What's the amount of heckling to the refs I can get away with before I get removed?
Minimal. Like you can probably say one thing and then our admin will come over and be like, hey, this is middle school. And then and then they'll ask you to leave.
Sir, where did you get alcohol? This is a...
Who are you with? Coach Adair.
That reminds me of that episode of South Park where the kids play baseball and Randy, he gets drunk every game and then fights like another fight other like alpha parent.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yeah. Yes. He puts on like a Batman mask, or is that the other?
Yeah,
guy?
Yeah. The other. I think the other parent wears a Batman mask.
Yeah, that's right. He puts on a cape and everything.
But that's his goal—not his kids' championship, but it's his championship against the other team's dad.
Oh man, that reminds me. So real quick, I had a student walk in my classroom the other day with a Batman cape on, right?
And nice.
I was That's like, a little bold for what, like sixth grade?
Well, and she was like, she's like, I'm Batman. And I was like, oh, I got news for you. And I opened up my closet because I have the exact same cape. And I put it on. And I was like, there can't be two of us. That was pretty great.
Nice.
Great moments that happened this week.
That's funny.
Nice. Batman.
So. Well, guys.
You know what? I'm kind of thinking that tying while we do this is not so good because I am focused at the vice. I'm not paying attention to anything.
See, because my flies are just like, I actually feel like I tie better when I'm just talking with you guys. I feel like I'm really into it. I'm like, yeah, I can't pick up my phone. I got something for my hands to do.
Yeah.
Zach's over there like, ooh, three fuzzes out of place.
Hey, we don't, judgment is not necessary here.
That's true. That could bite me in the ass real quick.
Like I said at the beginning, Zach's got that fly tying ego.
Exactly,
that makes him good.
Exactly, it does, right?
Because three fuzzes out of place is too many.
That's three.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Ooh, I'll have some exciting stuff to talk about next time. I'm not going to talk about it now.
Oh, give us a teaser though.
A little teaser.
Yeah. I want a teaser.
Lou and I are going to Round Rock, I think. This weekend on Sunday with Casting for Recovery and Poncho Outdoors.
Oh, very cool.
Nice.
I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not. Honestly.
Well, oh, yeah, we are still recording. Well, I guess, yeah, we're also recording.
How about I end the recording and we talk more about this?
Yeah, maybe we can censor the names. Like, beep.
We'll see what happens.
Of the companies.
But I'll go ahead and end and then we can stay on for a minute.
It sounds good.
Alrighty, everybody. Thanks for listening to another episode of Honey Hole Hangout, your favorite fly fishing and outdoor podcast. Send us some videos on Instagram and we'll play them during the show. We'll probably be live streaming soon. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.